Hello and welcome to the Autism Mums podcast.
I'm Victoria.
And I'm Natalie.
We're two sisters raising autistic children who know the joy, the challenges and the everyday moments.
This is a supportive space for honest conversations, practical tips, shared strength and expert advice.
Whether you're celebrating a win, surviving a meltdown or just trying to make it through the day, we're right here with you.
Join us as we share the ups, the downs, and everything in between parenting autistic children. Hi, it's Natalie. Although you won't hear me in today's interview, I really wanted to jump on at the start just to say hello and share a few thoughts with you before we begin.
That's right, this episode is a conversation I had with Lisa Katz, who's a nutritional practitioner who has supported her autistic son through quite significant dietary changes. Lisa shares her experience of using the GAPS diet and making big shifts in food choices to support her son's health and behaviour.
Now, before we start, we do want to give a little heads up, because if your child has ARFID or ARFID behaviours, this episode might not feel entirely relevant to your journey.
Exactly. So one of my children has ARFID behaviours, and as wonderful as it is what's worked for Lisa, I know that it wouldn't work for my child, and that's okay because, as you know, every child is different and no one-size-fits-all advice exists, especially when it comes to food.
But we also know there are families out there for whom this episode will resonate. Lisa shares helpful tips about label reading, gut health, and empowering parents to feel confident making small changes. If you're in a place where you're considering how food might play a role in your child's well-being, you might find this really inspiring.
So take what works for your family and leave the rest.
All right, let's hand over to Lisa and Victoria. And as always, we're sending love to you wherever you are on your journey.
Hello, Lisa, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi, it's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have the chance to talk to you and explore more about your journey and talk to you about diets and food and everything. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. Thank you so much.
Could you start by talking a bit about your journey with autism?
My journey with autism is different than I think a lot of people, because for my son, our first diagnosis was actually mitochondrial disorder. And we got that diagnosis when he was very young. I should start by saying my son is 21 years old. At the time when he was diagnosed 21 years ago, we had never heard about mitochondrial disorder, but that was his first diagnosis. Now, if you fast forward to today, what we know now is that mitochondrial disorder and autism are linked. And if you go to somebody that is going to help you with autism and your child's symptoms, very often they're going to bring up the mitochondria. Because if you remember in science class, the mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cells. So pretty much anything that any of us do in our body, our mitochondria are involved. And in fact, mitochondria is linked with lots of things these days, autism and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, and just about anything that you talk about in terms of health, you're going to be talking about the mitochondria because they are the powerhouse. So that was his first diagnosis. And we didn't even get the autism diagnosis until years later. And it was such a blip that I don't remember. For me, it was so long ago, and autism was also such a rare diagnosis at the point that I didn't even remember, because we were so involved with the mitochondrial disorder. It wasn't until my son Brandon was about 11 years old that I started on going down a different road. And that's when I learned that there are really things that can be helped outside of therapy. It wasn't until he was 11 that I realized that, as his mom and the primary caretaker of him, that there was just more that I could be doing to help him function well. So that is when I started learning more about health and nutrition and the nutrition side of autism. And that's when I really dove into that, when he was about 11.
Okay. So what dietary changes did you need to make at that point?
The first thing that I had heard about was something called the GAPS diet, G-A-P-S. And it's Dr. Natasha Campbell wrote a book, and it's Gut and Psychology Syndrome. And it's basically healing the gut. So at the time, which was 11 years ago, I read the book and then I decided to do this for him. I decided to implement this, help heal his gut, because if your listeners aren't familiar with this or don't know this about autism, autism is very much connected. Like, we're very much connected with the gut and the brain. So it's really important to look at the gut and to work on what we can do to best set our children up for success. I did the GAPS diet, which basically you can get the book, you can, you know, look it up. It's really easy to access, but start off back with the basics. You boil a chicken and you boil some vegetables. That's very nourishing. It's good old chicken and vegetables. And you start with that. And so it was getting rid of the Cheez-Its and getting rid of the junk that I was feeding him and really nourishing his body. I like to use the word nourish because that's what was my focus. And that is still my focus 10 and a half years later, is how do I nourish his body from the gut to the brain, you know, all the way down? Because my son is nonverbal, which I'm sure many of your listeners have children who are nonverbal as well. I want to make sure that no matter what, that he has the nutrition he needs to be able to show up as his best. And so that starts with diet. So I did the GAPS diet with him, and you slowly advance and you move on to other things as well. Let me tell you, I was not perfect. I get overwhelmed, like I'm sure many of you guys do too. I get overwhelmed and I'm like, okay, I'm not doing this exactly right. And it's okay. It's totally okay. So I did that. And at the same time that this was happening, I had another son that was getting a diagnosis of PANDAS, which I'm not sure how many of your listeners have heard about, but now, at least in the U.S., I'm not sure about over there, but it's 1 in 200 kids now getting diagnosed with PANDAS. It's inflammation of the brain. Oftentimes with autism, they can go hand in hand. So I had another son that was getting diagnosed with PANDAS. I was getting diagnosed with 2 autoimmune conditions. So it was like, all of this stuff was happening within a few years. And so I changed all of our diets. We went gluten-free. We went dairy-free because I knew I needed to bring down the inflammation. I needed to support our bodies better. That was a huge pivotal point when I started doing that. And I will tell you, when I made the dietary changes for Brandon, my son with autism, and if you've ever read anything about gluten and dairy free, there are a few people who will tell you, oh my gosh, my kid started talking. That did not happen here. That did not happen here because the gluten and the casein can be so toxic to their bodies that once they get rid of that, it can happen. It does happen. It can happen. It doesn't happen for everybody. But what does usually happen and what did happen is that he was calmer. He was able to go to sleep easier, and he was able to settle his body down so much. So it was enough that we just have never looked back. We have never looked back, still feed him that way. So it was a major breakthrough. And I think it's a piece that unfortunately a lot of parents miss. And it's unfortunate because your pediatrician's office isn't telling you about these things because they don't have the education on nutrition. So you really have to see like a functional medicine specialist to get the information, or as a mom, you know, seek it out and find the information yourself.
How did your son react to the dietary changes at the beginning?
He was a little bit, I think, surprised that he wasn't getting his other foods, but overall he did well. For me, I just made sure he had enough to eat. I just always want to make sure he had enough to eat. So he did really well. And I think most kids will do really well. Those that are like the really sensory, picky eaters, it's going to be a little tougher road. But, and I think as parents, we have to also get our mindset right in that this is for the best. Like, I don't know how it is over there, but like in here in America, like, oh, you got good grades, let's go get ice cream. It's not good for our bodies, but, or, you know, a special occasion, let's celebrate and let's eat all the junk food. So yeah, we have to change our mindset on that, especially as parents and as moms. It's so hard because I think there's that element of oh, I don't want to take away that food that he loves. But actually, it's more loving to provide him with food that actually is going to love his body back, because things like goldfish and Cheez-Its and all of that stuff, there's no nutritional value there. But we just have to, as moms, we have to have our mindsets like that this is good, and this is good for everybody. This is good for the whole family. This is eating back in the way that our ancestors ate. We've gotten so far away from that.
Yeah, we have.
It's really important, especially if you have a spouse, to get your spouse on board. Okay, we're doing this as a family.
Yep, absolutely. So if someone is thinking about making some dietary changes for their family, what are some easy swaps they can start making in the kitchen?
Well, one of the best things that you can do is to start reading your labels. So become an informed consumer. And the best thing you can do is to buy foods without any labels. So think about when you go to the grocery store and, you know, the vegetables don't have labels, the fruit doesn't have labels, the meat doesn't have labels, and those kind of things. But the things that do have labels, because most of us are going to bring some foods into our house that have label, we just are. Then start reading your labels and start figuring out, okay, what is in here? I will give a little tip to everybody here. Ingredient labels, they're listed in the order of what has the highest concentration of what. So, for instance, if you're buying something that would be packaged, raw fruit is going to be best. Say you're on the go, you want something healthy. You want to make sure when you look at that label that it's really just the fruit. You want to make sure, because a lot of times, especially let's take applesauce, for instance, if you want to buy applesauce, you want to make sure there's not sugar with that applesauce. So you want to read the label, like, is it apples? And then maybe like some sort of like lemon juice or something, like just a little bit of something that would be fine. But look at all those preservatives. And that's one way to, that's really the first way I'd like to help people start, is start being an informed consumer. I do help people one-on-one learn how to be a label. I had a call yesterday with a mom. She wants to focus first on getting out the food dyes, which, guys, I think is probably a great place to start. It's an easy place to start. You want to make sure that you don't have food dyes in your food. And so we were talking yesterday. So I want to encourage everybody to, if you have mac and cheese in your house, look at that label. Is there food coloring in there? If you have chips in your house, she had Cheetos and she had no idea there was food coloring in Cheetos. So become an informed consumer and start reading your labels. Start with the stuff that's already in your home so you can do the research now before you go to the store and it gets overwhelming. But start figuring out, food dyes are a great place to start. In Europe, you guys ban a lot more than we do here in America. We're kind of just starting to ban. But what you can do is ban them in your house before they even come into your house. I also really advocate for gluten and dairy free. That's something that everybody has to decide individually. And I work with people one-on-one to help decide, you know, what's going on in the family. What do things look like? Sometimes your kids can be addicted to like dairy or sugar. Sugar is another big one. If they like have to happen. And be careful. I always say be careful with the fruits too. As your child with autism like had like laughter where it's just like maniacal laughter where they just laugh at, and you're like, what is going on?
Simply not.
Okay. It happens for a lot of people. It happens for a lot of people. Their child is just laughing and it could be a yeast issue. But I usually limit my son with autism. We do two fruits a day and we'll do blueberries and we'll do a pear each day. You know, if he has a little bite of apple here, fine. It's fine. But I know if he's just like laughing and it's this drunk laughter. I know some of you guys are going to be watching and you'd be like, oh my gosh, my son does this too. Or my kid does this too. I know I got to pull back on the fruit. So even fruit, you know, their little bodies are so sensitive. And so it's so important that we tune in to what is going on and am I feeding and allowing my child to have something that is making this situation worse.
Okay. So I'm curious, at what point did you start helping others?
I started with my son and then it was with my other son and then it was with me. I have put myself just by changing diet and environmental toxins. I had PCOS and I had Raynaud's and both of them are now in remission just from diet and lifestyle choices. So I knew I had to make a change and I have been working with other families now for a few months. I have been doing this where I work individually. And what I really love is that I'm not sending you videos telling you what to do. It's us having a conversation and you saying to me, this is what's going on with my family. I want to make changes, but I don't know where to start. And so while I do believe that every family needs to be gluten-free, I 100% believe that. I think that at least in the United States, our gluten is so heavily sprayed with glyphosate, which is straight up toxic poison. It's not good for anybody. And so to go gluten-free, you're preventing cancer and all sorts of other things. While I do believe that everybody goes gluten-free, I don't make you go gluten-free. That's not what you are able to do. So I have a family that I'm working with now, and it seems a lot of dairy issues. And so that's what we're focusing on. And so at some point, will the family go gluten-free? I hope so. But you're in the driver's seat as a parent. And I like to really empower you with knowledge, and you get to decide, because it's really important to me that in helping people, like, they feel educated, empowered. There's no shame in if you don't go gluten-free, shame in that. I want to meet you where you are. So it's how I got started, because I had somebody that believed in me and saw what I had to offer, what I was posting on my Facebook page. I do not consider myself a good cook, but I've had to learn to be more creative in the kitchen. And I have three boys. They're 21 years old. They eat like 21-year-old boys. And so I have plenty of food.
So with that in mind, how do you navigate parties or eating out?
I did this when my son was 11. So we weren't really going to much. But if we are in a situation where we have to eat out, I will bring his own food. If it were a birthday, there's plenty of brands that you can get that are gluten-free and dairy-free. And so you could just simply make a cupcake so that the child isn't missing out for a special occasion.
That's good. That's really helpful advice, I think, that right there. But what can be a clue that foods aren't agreeing? Are there any other signs parents should be looking for if their current diets aren't working?
So I think at the core, we have to remember that food is medicine, and that what we are feeding both ourselves and our children is either going to be fighting disease or fueling disease. So I think that is the core message, is remembering that we didn't used to eat this way. And whether it's you're talking about your children or yourself, but we have to focus on prevention. And as autism moms, we know we have to live forever. So I want to just, you know, make that point that it's not just about us. And you may not see anything with your kid, but trust me, the body knows what's going on. You might be having sleep issues, going to sleep or staying to sleep. Diet can help with that. You might be having issues with stimming where the body can't calm itself down. It could be because you're having too much sugar, too much junk food. And times dairy can be a culprit that goes right to the brain. If you're just gassy, that's definitely a sign something is not agreeing. With autism, there's such a big constipation piece. You want to make sure you're feeding that nutritious diet so that you can help keep things moving as well. But the excitability piece where you can't stay calm, you know, let's look at the body as a machine. What are you feeding the machine? Are you feeding the machine foods that are nourishing to both our gut and our brain? Or are you feeding the machine junk that is going to make the machine malfunction? So I look at it like that way.
That's really helpful. Thank you very much, Lisa. Now, you have a special offer for our listeners.
I do. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I would love you, anybody that has watched this, or if you've been thinking about, oh, I know diet is important and I just don't know where to start, or if you need somebody to hold your hand and be your cheerleader, that's where I come in. That's what I do. I have a package that I offer. In the package is 3 sessions. And the second session, we go through your cabinets, we go through your fridge, and we learn how to read labels and decide what's going to be good in your home and what's going to help your family and what we need to replace with something else. So it's a package, and I would love to offer all of your listeners, anybody who watches this, I'd love to offer $50 off the package. Just let me know that you saw me here And I would love to help anybody that's ready and reach out with questions. I know where you're going to put my information. If you have questions about the program or questions about diet related, food related, anything that we talked about here, I am Lisa Sobel Katz. I know we're going to put that in the show notes on Facebook and Instagram. So I'd love to connect with other autism moms. I have enjoyed building a community because, as you guys know, it can be very, very lonely, especially as your kids get older. And we have to have each other. It's so good to know that in the hard times, we're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that generous offer. And thank you so much for coming and talking to us. I really appreciate your time and your insight. It's been really wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me. I have really enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us today on the Autism Mums podcast. We hope you have found a little support, a little solidarity, and a reminder that you are not in this alone. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd love it if you'd follow the show and share it with another parent or carer who might need to hear it. And if you've got a story or a moment you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you at www.theautismmums.com. Until next time, take care.